Postfade and Cheese Steaks, episode 66. Got with us today myself, Dakota. We got Tim live from the beach, and returning guest Billy, who I believe was on, was it Edge Rushers or DNs last year?
Offensive lineman.
Oh, offensive lineman. That's right. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the Bakhtiari thing.
Yeah.
Packers.com. We upgraded you from offensive tackles to wide receiver, something more exciting this time.
Yeah. So hopefully my sources are all checked out this time. But I'm ready to roll. I got my top 10. It was tough. This was a tough list. A little tougher than I thought, even offensive linemen, just because there's so many to choose from.
There's a lot of good wide receivers. I think I can make a top 10 out of all the wide receivers. I think you'll make my list.
Yeah, I was surprised going through, like, looking at a lot of stats and stuff too. I was like, damn, I didn't realize these players did that well. So it was tough. There's a lot of good, like, up and coming receivers too. So, yeah. Real quick, before we get into that, the recording of this is Sunday night. I just want to say Olympic update. USA leading the way with 59 total medals and 20 gold, but China has 24 gold. So, but they're looking good, and USA basketball looked like they were going to struggle that one game, and then they destroyed them. So, but yeah, we'll see. It's good to see USA is always killing it in swimming and track and field. So,
just run it. They're just dominant in the water.
Yeah. We can get right into it. So, Billy, as you've probably seen from our recent episodes, we do honorable mentions now. So we'll be doing our top 10 wide receivers for the 2021 season. You can start us off. Who are your 2 to 3 honorable mentions that just barely missed your list?
Yeah. So I'm glad we're doing this, because the honorable mentions, like we already discussed, there's a lot of good people here. I got Calvin Ridley, I think, just missing the cut. Last year he was huge. I think, went with Julio Jones. I guess he was out for half the season with injuries. Kind of showed that he could be like a number one wide receiver. So Calvin Ridley, and just the long play. I think he led the league in the most 20 plus yard receptions. So that's always, a good factor to have in your receiving game. The Eagles don't have any of that.
Maybe this year.
Not on that.
Maybe this year. Yeah, we got the new Smith. Yeah. But I also got Adam Thielen, I think, just missing the cut. I wanted to possibly put him in there at 10, but, I went with someone else. But Thielen, I thought, he's had, obviously, Jefferson this year, who you could argue is probably better, but Thielen's just been doing it for a few years. And I think the last 4 years he's been, rated in the top 10 by PFF. So he's just been a consistent receiver for Kirk Cousins.
It's true.
Yeah, I don't know what my thing is. Like, I know Thielen's numbers are, like, pretty insane, but I just have never, like, I don't know. I've just never been, like, super impressed by him. I don't know what it is. He gets down and dirty kind of wide receiver. Like, he just gets it done. It's because he doesn't have, like, the super sexy plays all the time, but he is a good receiver. I'll give him credit. He's a really good receiver.
I feel like you have, like a handful of players that you just don't like for no rationale at all. You just pick and you just don't like them. Like, there's really no meaning or thought behind it. You just don't like them. And then they never get off the list. They just hate them for the entire career.
Yeah.
Thielen's crazy, though, too, because, like, you would think he's just, like, doing short routes across the middle, just racking up receptions. Mm-hmm. He was third in touchdowns last year, and I think he's always been, I don't have any defining stat, but he always seems to be leading the league, in touchdowns, as much as you think he's just, doing small receptions.
PFF had him at number 6 on their wide receiver ranking. So if they're looking at their grading, is their top 10 guy. He also did not make my list. He's not my honorable mention either. It's tough because I had, like, there's so many guys that I didn't even put in my honorable mention, like Thielen, T.Y. Hilton, Chris Godwin, like Amari Cooper. Yeah. All really good players, didn't even make my honorable mention. But going off of that, my honorable mentions, one Billy already said. I went with Calvin Ridley. He's a guy I think is going to have a big future. I like him in the Arthur Smith offense. And then Allen Robinson, a guy who He's so good, but he's currently, like, I feel like he's extremely underrated because he hasn't played with a single good quarterback his entire career, and he still goes out there and balls and dominates every time.
Yeah,
and he's consistent. I'm curious to see. I think he signed his franchise tender this year, mm-hmm. so I would have to think it's one more year in Chicago and then he's bouncing. Oh. So I'd like to see him with a decent quarterback. You know,
he's Justin Fields now, so we'll see.
Yeah, maybe that gives him a reason to stick around, but. I went with them. You know, Robinson obviously had like over 1,200 yards last year, so he's a top 10 guy pretty much any other year. But tough year this year. So, Dakota, what do you got? Who's your animals?
So I'm cheating, and I have four because this list was so hard.
You just make up your own rules as you go.
Yeah. Right. So first was Justin Jefferson of the Vikings.
Oh my God! Really? We're already gonna start with this. Justin Jefferson didn't make your top 10.
It's
literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I knew you were gonna. Justin Jefferson, of course, he's in the top 10.
He had a phenomenal year. I don't know. You know how I feel about 1 years. So
I know you don't have logic or reasoning for any of this. So you just kind of pick and choose. I'll get to him. He's in my top 10, and I'm shocked because it sounds like Billy is also an uneducated idiot and didn't put him in his top 10 either. Like, I know you guys just, you know, willy-nilly pick people for no reasoning, but, you know, with me, I have a logical system, and he checks every box. He had easily a top 10 season last year. I don't know why you wouldn't think he's going to get better after his rookie year. Doesn't make sense to me. But I'll save it for later. But, yeah, continue to go on with your nonsense.
So last year I had OBJ number 5. I will say this year he did not make my list.
Looks like someone was right when they did that last year.
Now that's not to say he won't be a top 5 wide receiver, because if he stays healthy, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he had a really good year, because it looked like at the start of that year last year he was on to something, and then he obviously got hurt like 4 games in, but we'll see. And then another honorable mention I have is DK Metcalf. Another really hard.
Oh my! Who did you put in your list? DK Metcalf is easily a top 10 wide receiver.
It's tough. I wanted to. I really wanted to because I look. Here's the thing with DK Metcalf is he's an absolute monster when he's on a roll, but when he's out, like when he's not in rhythm, he's just very inconsistent. Like he drops the ball. Sometimes he doesn't run the best routes, but like I said, when he is on, he is a top 5 receiver, no doubt. But I've seen too much inconsistency. But I don't know. I will see. I think he just needs to get into his own more. And I know last year it was like Jim Schwartz said something to him about how, I love the way you're playing. You remind me of Calvin Johnson, but you're not quite there yet. And apparently Metcalf was like insulted by that. And then torched Eagles for like 180 yards, but
I don't know what you're talking about. He was said the 6 most touchdowns and 6 most receiving yards. Like, I don't understand what you mean by inconsistency. He seems like he's pretty good. He made a jump from his rookie year and continues to improve. This is dumb. This is just dumb.
All right, and
1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns.
I'm telling you, dude, it was a hard. I looked at last year. their career so far, and then I'm looking at who their quarterback is, what their situation is, do I think they're going to play better this year, so on and so forth. So there was a lot going into it, but I if you were upset about those ones, let me crack up. You're open for this last guy here.
Do you even try, or do you just like pick names?
Shout out Mango Cart. It's still summertime, so we're rocking with the Mango Cart.
Are we shouting Mango Cart because you were like 10 of those deep when you made this list? Because it sounds like you were pretty intoxicated in this.
So at number 11, so I literally, you could throw him in at 10, or I kicked him out just because I think the one guy is going to have a really good year this year. Number 11, a.k.a. my honorable mention, I have Mike Evans of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, my God.
Dude, this list was so hard. He was, like, Tim will vouch for him. He's on pace, I would say, for Hall of Fame career stat-wise. No doubt about that. He's had 1,000 yards in all 7 of his seasons.
Correct.
And he had 1,000 yards this year. And he had, I think, over 10. Yeah, 13 touchdowns. Phenomenal numbers.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I just again, a little bit of inconsistency. He drops the ball too, but he's a beast. And I'm telling you, this list, this was a very, very hard list. But the guy I have, he would have been in that 8, 9, 10 slot for me. And the guys I have 8, 9, 10, I'd rather have on my team next year. That's all it is. So
that's fair. Because he's on my he's in the 8, 9, 10, yeah, you know, range.
That you could put,
but he's in your top 10.
You could put 10 players in that like 7 to 10 range, and I'd be okay with it. Like it's so yeah, wide open.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's my a lot of good players in my honorable mentions, but yeah, that was tough.
Well, if you want to go ahead.
I'll leave it alone. I was gonna go off at him.
I was gonna segue into it and say he's actually my number 10 guy.
Okay. So, see.
Look at him. All right. Like he's top 10 wide receiver.
You know, we are. Yeah, he is top 10, and I think the Super Bowl, you know, that certainly kind of pushed him in there. You know, I felt like I had to get someone from either Godwin or Mike Evans has to be in the top 10 because, you know, Godwin's even on that could be an honorable mention as well.
For sure.
Or in the top 10, but I don't have Godwin in here, but Mike Evans at 10 for me.
Yeah, I mean, I had Godwin at 10 last year, and then I think, I mean, he had some injuries to deal with, so he just didn't put up a great year. And Mike Evans, I had an 8 last year, so he just slid out a little bit for me. But
so okay, I'm just
Tim had him really high. So
how did Mike Evans go down on your list from last year? He had an incredible season. He won a Super Bowl, and he went down on your list.
I mean, he had played 16 games, had 1,000 yards, 64% completion, like catch to pass ratio, 13 touchdowns. Like touchdowns are great. He's a red zone monster. I think the yards are a little down for him.
What do you mean down? He has over 1,000 every year. There's wide receivers that would kill for an 1,000-yard receiver.
1,000. We had 18 wide receivers who had 1,000 yards.
How many in the league have done it every single year of their career? I mean, I'm just saying. I find it outlandish that he falls out of your list after being number 8 last year, after he had 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns, and won a Super Bowl.
Okay, how many years did LeSean McCoy have 1,000 rushing yards? You didn't see him in our top 10 running backs because he had 1,000 yards
completely,
in the past.
Completely irrelevant.
No, it's not. You're saying all this from what he's been doing in the past. Yeah, I already said that. He's had a phenomenal career stat-wise. This was a little bit down of a year for him compared to how he usually is, and I thought there were 10 receivers who had better years. That's all it is.
I would love for you to try to explain to me how 10 wide receivers had better year than Mike Evans, who went for over 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns, and won a Super Bowl. But we digress. So let me get to my list because it's the only we'll see where Billy's list goes, but it's clearly the only logical list we have going so far between the two of us. So my number 10, and this was a big drop from my last year's list, but unlike Mike Evans, he deserved the drop. So my number 10 was actually my number 1 wide receiver from last year, and that is Michael Thomas.
That is a big drop.
I mean, let's be honest. He didn't have a good year. He was hurt all year. I'm already doubting how good he's going to be next year. Drew Brees retired. He just got this surgery on his ankle. Now he's going to miss the beginning of the season, which seems to piss off Sean Payton because he said that it was a surgery that should have been done months ago. Mm-hmm. So I am already pretty optimistic, or, you know, being pessimist about his upcoming season because I don't know if he's going to have the success that we've seen before. Right. And if I'm starting my team with him, like, yeah, he's great, and I know he's great. The reason he's in my top 10 is because I would start my team with him and I'd realize he's an elite talent. But the guy's still like a headache. He's got this surgery thing that apparently should have been done ages ago, his coach is calling him out for. He fought up his teammate in the middle of practice. Like this guy, he has more shenanigans going along with him than he has production. And you never want to see that happen. When your shenanigans outweigh your production, you usually are out of the job. He's finding his way into being a distraction, even though he's an immense talent like Odell Beckham was. And I could make pretty much the same argument I did for Odell not being in my top 10 last year as I am for Michael Thomas at number 10. But I'm not going to ignore the fact that he was the best wide receiver in football just last year, set an incredible record with reception. So he's on the list out of name respect mostly, but I am down on his future, especially since one of the greatest quarterbacks ever just retired.
I agree with you, Tim. I don't have him at 10, but I do think he is going to be, you know, somewhat of a down year for him.
I mean, I think he's still a good wide receiver who can succeed without a quarterback that is like of Drew Brees caliber, but
yeah.
It's the injuries is already being a problem again. He missed all of last year pretty much injury, and now he's already going to be missing time to start the season. You would hate to, you know, he's not going to be practicing at all with his new quarterback, whether that be Jameis or whoever. You know, he's missing those reps. You know, he runs quick slants for 90% of his route. That's a very, you know, practice route. You know, it's a very timing route.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and with, yeah, Jameis Winston, the injuries and Jameis Winston.
We'll see what it
started. Yeah. Who's the Dakota guy at 10?
So, yeah, this goes back to exactly what I said last year in our rankings. And these two players were back-to-back. So I had Keenan Allen at number 10. I personally like Keenan Allen better than Mike Evans. And Tim and I debated on this, that Mike Evans sure has better stats and had slightly better stats this past year. But I'd rather have Keenan Allen than Mike Evans on my team. So, but he dropped a little bit. I had him at 7 last year, I think.
Tonight.
Just because he had a little bit of a down year. But I think him and Herbert will have a nice chemistry again, building that up as the season progresses and, you know, through training camp and such. So I'm excited to see him work and get in with him. So
no arguments. I have Keenan Allen coming up very soon. I'm just waiting for, there is going to be someone on your list that is just idiotic sitting to be left off, and I'm just waiting for that to happen.
I have a couple Tim picks.
We'll hold our breath and see.
Yeah.
All right, Bill, number 9.
Yeah. So 9, I got Allen Robinson. Okay. I know you had him in the honorable
mention. I'm gonna stop you real quick. I also have Allen Robinson at number 9.
Wow. There we go. See, yeah, two. Yeah. We think like Tim's list is probably gonna be the one that's like very sketchy and off.
Okay, relax. I had him at number 11, and if he, you know, if he wasn't on the Bears, I probably would have him in the top 10. But my outlook on his future season isn't as high as my other guys.
He almost gets like, he could almost be getting like extra credit just because he is on the Bears. Like if he did play with like a good quarterback and put up, yeah, like it's almost like he could be putting up these stats with like another good quarterback still. But like I'm almost giving him more credit because he's doing it with, you know, Andy Dalton possibly, you know, this year as his quarterback. He'll put up good stats. But so, yeah, Allen Robinson at 9. I just felt like he carries that team. So he's obviously proven to be a number one receiver. He just checks it out for me.
Yeah,
I'm no complaint.
Yeah,
you also had him at 9, right?
Yeah, I mean, same sentiments. And this is why I kind of bumped him ahead of Keenan Allen and Mike Evans, is because I look at his quarterback situation. And past years, he's put up over 1,000 yards. This year, he had 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns, 102 catches, like with a carousel of Nick Foles and Trubisky. Like,
yeah,
he's a baller. He reminds me of like a slightly better Alshon Jeffrey, like in his prime, like who was in Chicago at that time. Same kind of body build, I feel like. But yeah, I think this year, like Billy was saying, with, you know, Andy Dalton, who's definitely better than Trubisky and Foles, or if Justin Fields plays, I think he'll have better opportunities to keep playing well. He's a baller. Who you got at 9, Tim?
Feel that. I just want to mention this real fast. So Mike Evans played 1 year with Tom Brady, but before that he had a carousel of mediocre quarterbacks, and he continued to dominate. So, you know, we'll just ignore the fact that when Mike Evans does it with a very booty quarterback, he gets punished because, you know.
He didn't have a carousel. He had Jameis Winston, who just chucked the ball every time.
Yeah. 40 touchdowns or 30 touchdowns.
It was every pass to Mike Evans was a 50-50 jump ball, essentially, because Winston would just chuck it.
Yeah. And you know what? He went up and got most of them, you know, and that's an incredible skill to have. So, but whatever, we'll get to this. I'll get to this in a little bit.
Okay.
My number 9 actually got you, Dakota, you just said, so I won't go on too much about him, but number 9, I have Keenan Allen. He was my number 8 guy last year, so slight bump down. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's super consistent. He had nearly 1,000 yards last year. I like his future. Obviously, I think this year's going to be a big one for him in particular because Herbert, I think, is going to take it. If I was starting my team, like, even though he's probably one of the older guys on my top 10 list, he's still consistent. He's still got it. He's an incredible route runner. You can pretty much pencil him in for 100 receptions every year that you see. So I like him. I think he's going to be great. I think he's going to be Justin Herbert's best friend. And I think they're both going to take a big jump this season.
He had exactly 100 receptions last year. So
you can pretty much clock it in. Mike Evans gets you 1,000 receiving yards, and Keenan will have 100 receptions. Pretty much clock that in every year.
Yeah. They're basically, I think for most of their career, they've been flip flop. Like, you could pick either or. So,
and you know what? He is criminally underrated. He has been his whole career. Allen Robinson too, but Keenan Allen gets no love, and there's no reason for it.
He is underrated, and I do like Keenan Allen a lot. I don't have him in my top 10, but just moving forward, I'm waiting for that season where he's been hurt quite a few times, a couple times in his career, right? So he's getting older. It's, I love Keenan Allen. He's great, underrated, but if you're going to move forward with receivers, age-wise, and possibly staying healthy, Keenan Allen's not, cracking my top.
I mean,
I'm not starting Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I agree with that in some aspect, but also this past season he played 13 games, was 8 yards shy of 1,000, had 8 touchdowns. Like, that's 3 less games than everybody else who was on this list for the most part. So.
Yeah, but, of the 3 categories I judge off, he had a good year last year. I agree with what Billy's saying. If I was starting my team, he's probably not a top 10 wide receiver, but I'm really high on his next year. I think Herbert's going to take a big step, and I think they're going to be a very good team.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, Bill, number 8, we're on.
Number 8, yeah. So I went with Michael Thomas for some of the reasons that Tim mentioned earlier, just – the surgery, new quarterback, we'll see. He's got to be in the top 10 just because, 2 years ago, he had 150 catches or 146, 1,700 yards. So that's still good enough for me. One down year isn't going to, take him out of the top 10, obviously. But I am pessimistic with the surgery and the new quarterback, that he can still put up the numbers that he was before.
Yeah, we'll see. If he goes out there balls, I'll eat my words. But things are not looking good in the way his career is going right now. It looks like that record-setting season is going to be something that we're not going to see again.
I think that's a stretch, but
we'll see. I mean, listen, you lost Breeze. He's getting hurt more and more. His injuries are becoming a thing. Yeah, he missed
only
a
last
whole
year.
Season. But it's going to affect him this year. He's already going to miss 10 this year. And who knows? Last year you didn't expect him to miss all the games he did. But you have no idea when he's going to come back this coming season and how long it's going to take him to get on a rapport with James Winston and everything.
That's fair.
All right, Dakota, continue your circus of nonsense and give me your number 8.
My number 8. So 8 and 7, little tease for my next one. I have back-to-back young guys. Number 8, I have hailing from the Tennessee Titans, Mr. A.J. Brown.
Okay.
I think that, first of all, the fact that he had, 11 touchdowns, over 1,000 receiving yards, he had 70 catches in a run, heavy, heavy run first offense is, to me, it stands out a lot. And he's just a bull. What's funny is that his new teammate Julio Jones, he's very similar to him. He's not quite as much of a freak athlete as Julio is, but they're kind of that same receiver where they can just stretch the field, but then also be really strong off the slant and as a possession receiver. And for him to be only 23, and I'm pretty sure he made the Pro Bowl last year too. With Derrick Henry getting the ball and Julio Jones now on the other side, he's going to be more free to get those receptions, and I think he's gonna have a phenomenal year this year. So I had him at number 8.
I like AJ Brown a lot. I have no complaints there. I'm actually surprised he's on your list because he's only been in the league for 2 years, so I figured you just immediately eliminated him.
Like I said, it's all about the situation.
All right, so my number 8, who is someone that you didn't even put in your top 10, Dakota, because you're a fool, just came off the best rookie wide receiver season ever, breaking records set by Randy Moss.
Mm-hmm.
He went for, I believe it was 1,400 yards, which was third best in the NFL. He had 7 touchdowns. He was PFF's number 2 ranked wide receiver. from last year. Obviously, last year was a top 10 year for him. I expect him to continue to do really good. I don't know. I mean, I think defenses are going to tone in on him a little bit more coming up this season. I don't know if he's going to have the numbers this coming season as he did this year. But I still think he's going to be good. And if you're starting a team, come on, man. Who wouldn't want this guy who just had the greatest rookie season ever in NFL history? You know, it's the guy that everything like, he was a first round pick, had a lot of concerns, not a lot, but he had some things that people were saying about him, like, want to be a slot guy, doesn't have the explosiveness or whatever when he came out of the draft. And he pretty much just wiped all that away. Any criticism he had going in, he just put it on full display in his first year in the NFL. So, he already, like, the critiques he was hearing, he's already answered and silenced them and fixed them. So, yeah. He's only going to keep getting better. I like the situation he's in with Thielen across from him. And, you know, Cousins isn't a stud, but he's capable and willing and able to give him the ball. So, I think he's going to be very good going forward, and he's my number eight.
I don't have a problem with you having him there. My just thing was, like, I kind of looked at what that team is built around. And I think because he was a rookie, he kind of got more opportunities to get that ball because Thielen's out there getting double teamed, and, you know, you have Dalvin Cook and stuff. But I'm not going to discredit, like, you know, like you said, 1,400 yards is nothing to, you know, talk lightly of. He balled out for sure. He just, like, he would have been like 12. Like, he just missed my list. So
I agree. I got to see it one more time. You know, he's obviously a good young player. But
I've seen plenty of receivers have phenomenal one year and then disappear. So yeah. I don't think that's going to be him. But, you know, like you said, I want to see a similar season.
First off, yeah. I'm going to poke holes in everything you just said there. You rarely ever see a guy have an incredible rookie season and then fall off. There's players that fall out for one year in a contract year or in a good situation, and then they can't get it back. Do they ball in the rookie year and then stick? My other argument with that is, sure, he only did it for one year. Is there any reason you can think of that he's not going to do it again next year or do it multiple years going forward? The situation's great. Like, I do think that teams are going to, you know, zone in on him and focus on him more. It'll be a little harder, but he's still got weapons all around him. They're not going to be able to double team him all the time, that he's not going to be able to get chances to dominate like he did this
year. You could argue that Kirk Cousins could probably have a bad year because it's Kirk Cousins.
When you're playing with Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, and Adam Thielen, I think it'll be pretty tough.
No, but yeah, if there's a reason why Justin Jefferson doesn't have that great of a year, it could be his quarterback is pretty average.
Yeah, sure, but, you know, listen, Kirk Cousins, I'm not going to say is awesome, but like what we said with Allen Robinson, Allen Robinson would kill to have Kirk Cousins throwing the ball, considering what he has. Like, Kirk Cousins perfectly adequate and capable of continuously getting the ball to Justin Jefferson and then being very successful together.
Yeah. No, what'd you have him at eight, you said? I don't have any arguments.
I had him at eight, yeah. I put him at eight, and I you know, because obviously my two metrics for when I do my list are in the future. And I see, I just keep trying to remind you this because you just pick names out of a hat. You have no rhythm or metric or anything.
Honestly, for receivers, you could have just picked names out of a hat because they're so good, but.
Yeah.
I want to see him, like Billy said, like, and like you were saying with the adjustments on defense, because I was looking into some of his games, and like one of the games against the Packers, like Jaire Alexander, who was my number two corner, completely took him out of the game. He had like 20 yards.
That's a rookie against one of the best cornerbacks in the league. I think you can expect that to happen.
Okay. Exactly. He's still a rookie. He was a rookie. So I'm not just going to throw him into the top 10 over all these other, you know, couple more years under the belt players, so. But he's up there. He's definitely I'm not gonna call you a moron for having him at eight. I think that's a fair spot for him. If you had him at like four or three, I would call you an idiot, but that's a different story.
Fair enough.
Thought about it.
He probably had him at number one. He's like, oh, hold on.
Yeah. This guy's gonna be the next Randy Moss. He's gonna be number one.
Yeah. If we did it on Friday, he would have been number one. I had a couple more days to think about it, and I brought him back down a little bit. Bill, who do you got at number seven?
Seven, I got DK Metcalf.
Okay.
Just a freak physically. So, and playing with Russell Wilson, I think he's only going to get better. I think they're going to have a better year this year. But I just like him pairing with Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett on the other side. So he still gets, you know, single coverage, I think, sometimes. But, yeah, he's just incredible. So consistent, too, catches everything. So I like DK Metcalf sliding seven here.
Fair enough. I mean, no complaints. I mean, I'll get to him on my list soon enough. So Tyler Lockett, though, you mentioned that he's another guy. He's another criminally underrated wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
He just shows the depth of the position because I never really gave him a serious thought in the list just because, you know, there's so many good wide receivers, but there's nothing against him. Like, he is a very good wide receiver.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
All right, Chikota, what you got for number seven?
It's number seven. Like I said, I have back-to-back Yum Bulls. And this has partly to do with I just think his trajectory for this year is going to be insane because one of his teammates is now on a different team. So I have Calvin Ridley at number seven.
Oh,
wow. I don't know. Calvin Ridley over AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, and Justin Jefferson? Mm-hmm. I don't know about that.
I mean,
as
a rookie, he had 800 yards, 10 touchdowns. Next year, 800 yards, 7 touchdowns. And then this past year, 1,300 yards, very close to 1,400, which is, you know, what you're talking about, Justin Jefferson. 9 touchdowns, and like Billy was saying earlier, he's just a beast. How he just missed his list, but 91 yards per game because he played in 15 games, 90 catches. And I think now that Julio's gone, he's going to get even more reps, more targets. Bama just throws out these ludicrous wide receivers, and he's one of them. So I think the sky's the limit for him, and he's just been so impressive. So explosive.
I don't really have an issue with Calvin Ridley. I think he's very good. He was my honorable mention. I considered him heavily for the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
I just, of like the four top young wide receivers, the Metcalfs, the Browns, Ridleys, and Jefferson, I find it almost idiotic to think that he's the best of those four. You just went through his stats. DK Metcalf had 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns. That's more touchdowns than the same amount of yards than he is. And for some reason, DK Metcalf doesn't make your list.
That was one more touchdown.
He has double-digit touchdowns. Whatever way you want to say it, it's still more.
With one more touchdown? I don't care about that. I already gave you my reason for not having DK Metcalf. I just think he's a little inconsistent.
I mean, all right, whatever you say. I don't mind Calvin Ridley in your top 10. I think you have him a little high. But over those three, I just think he's idiotic.
And just to reassert my genius, even PFF agrees. They said that Ridley hauled in the third most receptions against single coverage, which he had at least a couple of steps of separation. So basically, he's out there getting separation, getting off coverage, getting open for Matt Ryan. I just think he's another player who's been like everyone knows him as like really good fantasy football player, but they don't look at him as like the guy because Julio's always been there. So I think now that mm-hmm. Julio's gone, like this Calvin Ridley's time to shine, and I think he's gonna shine. So
I do have agree. I didn't have him in the top 10, but he has potential for a huge season.
Yeah,
this season.
I mean, if we were doing this just like saying, all right, who was the best from last year? Yeah, I would definitely have Justin Jefferson and Metcalf over Ridley, but I'm looking at the future here, like what's coming up this year, because that's how I make my list, factoring in past years and what I expect them to do in their current situations. And I think he's going to do really well. So
I mean, when you mentioned you don't think Justin Jefferson's going to, you know, you're a little, you know, down on Justin Jefferson being able to repeat what he did because now defenses are going to focus on him. Calvin Ridley just lost Julio Jones. Every defense is going to double team Calvin Ridley every time they play him. I think he's going to have I think this could be a tough year for him. I think he's very good, but I mean, he's got a new coach. Julio's out. Like, if Kyle Pitts is what everyone thinks he is, then sure, that'll give him another weapon to play against, but he's a rookie. We don't know. So I think that defense are going to cue in on Calvin Ridley, and it might be tough for him to fly under the radar. It might be tough to put up those numbers again.
We'll see. I hope it doesn't turn into a Juju situation where you, like, when Brown left, you saw what happened to Juju. He wasn't able to be that guy. I think Calvin really can be that guy, but that's it. You make a good point. I won't argue that, but I think
listen, he'll. I'm nothing against Ridley. I'm saying, like, this is why Jefferson's higher than Ridley. It's because they're both young and they both had incredible top 10 years, but I also think Jefferson has a better ability to continue to succeed and put up incredible numbers going forward. Where Ridley, I'm a little more doubtful, but hey, you know, I'm just amazed that you put a young guy in your top 10. I thought for sure you were going to have Larry Fitzgerald in the top five.
Is he? I think he's still a free agent. I don't even think he went back to the Cardinals. Yeah, they'll probably sign him at like the first week of the season. So,
yeah, let him skip training camp.
Yeah, a lot of the old guys do that nowadays. They just wait it out.
Yeah.
These guys are a living legend. There's only a few guys that can pull that off, and but he's one of those. So.
He's definitely.
All right, so my number seven, and this is a Dakota pick. You know it's coming, and I'm ready for it, and my argument is strong, and I have you ready to go.
Okay.
My number seven is Mr. Mike Evans.
Okay.
As we have already mentioned, his entire career, he's gone over 1,000 yards every single season with mediocre quarterback play until the GOAT showed up this year. He had 1,006 yards. He had 13 receiving touchdowns, which was fourth best in the league. And he won a Super Bowl. So I know, and I'll bring up Vita Vea as I do in every episode because it was so foolish on your part. And I stick to this point. Whoever won a Super Bowl on that team, I don't care what they did, they had a successful year. And I'm going to put it this way. I call it the Jason Hayward effect. Jason Hayward, baseball player for the Cubs. He was, you know, top-notch prospect in the Braves, got traded to the Cubs, and never kind of lived up to the hype. He had his worst season, statistically, in 2016. He was also part of that World Series championship team. He went 5-for-50 in the playoffs. That's awful. But yet, if you Google Jason Hayward's name and put Google Jason Hayward Cubs World Series, whatever you want to do, the first thing that pops up is his motivational speech he gave to his team during the rain delay in, I think, game six, that they went out and won and beat the Indians and ended the drought. Because you know what? That team won a World Series. So it doesn't matter what he does, what his stats were. He won the World Series, so an incredible successful year, and people are only going to look back on it as a successful season for Jason Hayward. So that playing into Mike Evans' effect bumps up his already top 10 statistical year last year even better because he won the Super Bowl. He's still playing with the GOAT. I think he's going to have a very good 2021. And if I'm starting my team right now, he's 28, and he's absolutely just rock solid consistent. He's never hurt. He has 1,000 yards every year. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. He's just going to go up and get the ball, and he's a red zone nightmare. That is the guy I want to start my team around. So I just laid out all my bulletproof reasons why he's a top 10 wide receiver, and I did it last year too, but he won a Super Bowl this year and made it a little easier. And yet you still sleep on him and ignore him.
Well, two things. First of all, that explanation you just gave was stupid. Second of all,
I didn't. I don't think
so. Second of all,
football, what sport are we talking about here?
Second of all, sure, he played in all 16 games, but he had injuries left and right. He wasn't, which is probably why his stats were a lot lower than we're used to seeing from him, but whatever. I mean, I don't really like that analogy you made because
it's a rock solid analogy.
No, if we did a top 10 kickers, that's like saying the Bucks kicker would be number one because he won a fucking Super Bowl. Who cares? I don't care that they won a Super Bowl. There's 53 people on a roster. You think he made like that much of a difference just because he has a ring? He's that much better of a player? No, that's moronic.
No. I'm talking about his like when I grade someone off how good their season was, the fact that he won a Super Bowl, yeah, it bumps them up a little bit.
They played phenomenal in the Super Bowl, then sure. But if they had like two snaps and you're like, oh yeah, he's got a ring, he's top 10. Like that doesn't make sense.
Well, I'm not talking about two snaps. I'm talking about a legit part of that offense and one of the best players on their team.
I want to see what his stats were in the Super Bowl now that we're discussing.
See, again, look at you just talking out your butt, and then you're going to realize that you were wrong.
I'm not wrong about anything. I just think that was you gave an analogy that this guy, this pitcher, because he gave a he gave a motivational speech like, oh, so that he deserves his ring. Like he's a great teammate then, but that doesn't mean he's a great player because he gave a speech. No.
The point of the whole thing was that he was awful in the World Series. But yet everyone looks back on the speech and him being a positive, you know, looking back at it positively because they won. Because you know what? His season was one of the worst of his career, but it's still a successful season because he won the World Series. And that's the point I'm making.
The Buccaneers scored 31 points in the Super Bowl. Mike Evans had one catch for 31 yards. He did nothing in the Super Bowl. He's a very, very good wide receiver.
I had him at center.
But
But if he didn't win the Super Bowl, would he be at number 7 or in your top 10?
Yeah, probably. I mean, he was in my top 10 last year. He was my number. He was my number
like four.
So yeah, a lot of Mike Evans up. But my point is because Dakota just and going back to his point because he loves contradicting his own self. He's part of an offense that scored 31 points, and like you said multiple times incorrectly, it isn't about one man; it's about the team. So yeah, he was part of 11 guys that, as a team, scored 31 points in the Super Bowl. So yeah, he played a part in that.
Whatever. Again, I said he falls into that seven to like 12, 13 range, but I just thought last year he didn't have as good a year as normal Mike Evans. So
I don't understand how you can say that. He had 13 touchdowns, over 1,000 yards, and he won a Super Bowl.
He had 1,006.
What about that is not a good
1,006 yards and like under 100 catches and was in and out of injuries and still played 16 games. And PFF, look at that. He is the 18th most valuable wide receiver. 18th, and you have him at 7. According to their whatever system they use. Again, he's a top 10 for sure, but I'm just playing devil's advocate here, and that's why I had him borderline instead of, you know, 7. But
you continue your foolish ways. That's fine. But go ahead, Bill. Give me some logical.
What are we at? 6.
We are at 6.
Cruising.
I got. We've already discussed him. I got AJ Brown here at 6.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, I like him. I mean, he's just. You could say that he's arguably, you know, the second coming of Julio Jones because they are like the same receiver. I just like those guys who can go up and get it. You know, he was 5th in touchdowns last year, 14th in yards. But I think, you know, with them being so run heavy, that's going to obviously affect some of his numbers. Mm-hmm. And even this year, his numbers might, you know, stay around the same or take a slight dip because they are bringing in Julio Jones. But he is he's incredible. So I got him there at 6, but you can almost put him anywhere. But he's definitely the next young superstar wide receiver, I think, ahead of DK Metcalf.
For sure.
Fair enough. No arguments. I mean, he's on my list. I'll get to him in a little bit. But yeah, the guy's a stud.
Wow. I thought I had him a little high at 8. I was actually going to have him over Calvin Ridley.
Right. You should.
Okay.
AJ Brown is incredible.
So is Calvin Ridley.
Yeah,
well. All right. So my number 6 was my number 1 last year, and I understand the injury concerns.
Oh my god!
And I understand, you know, he didn't have a great year last year. Blah blah blah. But like you said earlier, the dude set the fucking reception record, and well, you can't. He's still a monster. I don't know why everyone's like shitting on him all of a sudden. Mike Thomas at number 6 of the Saints. He's, if he gets his fucking health situation good, like within like week 2 or 3, he'll finish top 5 in all fucking wide receiver stats. Like he's too good to not. I get it. He had one bad year. Like the year before that, he was that was a Hall of Fame year. Like he was insane.
Sure, yeah.
Insane.
Yeah, but he definitely cemented himself with just that season.
Yeah. Your argument mainly is based around 2 years ago. Not about the last season we just had or his future. That's why he's lower on my list, and I think he's a little too high on yours.
I had him at 1. I couldn't see. It was the same thing like Stephon Gilmore. Like I had him at 1 the previous year. Still a phenomenal corner. I dropped him to 6 as well. I think it's a fair assessment. And plus, I think the Saints are going to need to rely on him more now that, you know, whoever the quarterback's going to be, because they have, you know, you can't give Kamara the ball every down. And if Thomas is healthy, he's going to get the ball. He just didn't get the ball a lot because he was in and out of the lineup. He would play a little bit, then go out because of his ankle or foot or whatever he was dealing with. He just couldn't stay on the field. I think if he's able to stay on the field, you'll see a return to the old Mike Thomas. So that's why I understand you having him at what, 10 or whatever, but
I had him at 10, yeah.
I think pure based on like what I've seen, his talent, what he's able to do, the slant god, he'll be good. He'll be fine. So
fair enough.
I had him at 6 for a long time, honestly, actually. And then
so you were smart and then you made a mistake.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I had him at 8, so I wasn't quite as, you know, I would have him higher than 10, but yeah, I had him at 6 for a little bit. You know, everything Dakota said, but he is still incredible, and he'll still have 100 catches, I'm sure, if he's healthy.
I'm being more optimistic than you guys. That's all it is. So
Yeah. Fair enough.
All right. So my number 6 is a young guy. I think Billy already mentioned him, and Dakota, you foolishly didn't have him in your top 10, I think. So yeah, he had over 1,300 yards receiving this year, 10 touchdowns. He was, he's been a stud his entire career. He's an athletic freak. I have DK Metcalf at number 6.
I like it.
Honestly, like, I know the drops are a problem. He had 6 drops, which, you know, is something you want to see improve. But Tyreek Hill also had 6 drops, who's going to be pretty high in all 3 of our lists. So, like, and a couple other guys, like, it's not, like, it's outlandishly ridiculous how many drops he's having. He's young, too. I think he can improve on that. The main thing, what got him so high on this, is if I was starting my team with him, this guy is just, he's built so much different than any human on this planet that I think the other stuff will come with the experience. His route running is going to improve. His, you know, his hands are going to improve. Just take this freak of a man. Mm-hmm. And he's going to improve the technical aspects of being a football, I think, and get better. He's playing with Russell Wilson, who's an awesome quarterback. I think that offense is going to get a leave pass happy after Russell made the trade request this offseason. So I have a feeling that offense is going to be very beneficial and very successful for DK Metcalf. And I'm very high on it. He had a top 10 season last year. So that's why I got him at number 6.
Yeah, I mean, he was just hard for me to rank. I mean, I had him penciled in my top 10, and then I just kicked him out for, I mean, essentially Allen Robinson, A.J. Brown. Do I think he could be the next greatest, you know, the next Calvin Johnson? Maybe. But like you said, the drops, a little bit of inconsistency. I mean, I'm pretty sure Jalen Ramsey just took him out of one of the games, but obviously Jalen Ramsey's a specimen. So we'll see.
You're criticizing them after going against one of the elite cornerbacks in the league, and then
But I mean, we criticized Darius Slay for losing his matchups with elite receivers, so I'm just doing the same.
Darius Slay did it every single week, and it was a different wide receiver almost every week.
Okay, but he went against like Hopkins, Devontae Adams, DK Metcalf, like back to back to back. Like he had no break, he had no help either.
But, I mean, I no help, but this
and he was injured.
I also thought he was. I thought he was a Jalen Ramsey, Jerry Alexander kind of quality corner where he was going to stop these guys. That's what he was pegged up in my mind. But you know, completely off topic. So we'll get back on here.
But like, six I think is a little too high, but I do think he's top 10. He just didn't. I just think these players in my list are going to have better 2021 seasons. So that was. Because this list was so hard, I kind of determined it on who I think is going to have the best years. So, but he's definitely a top 10 receiver, I would say.
With that, using that metric, I don't know how DK Metcalf is in your top 10. What makes you think he's not going to be awesome this year?
I mean, the Seahawks offensive line didn't really improve. He still has Lockett on the other side. They still have pretty good rotation of running backs. He's not going to get the ball all the time.
Very important.
Huh?
I mean, I think they're going to pass more this year, man. Russell Wilson doesn't go out demand a trade request or, you know, didn't demand a trade, but say the 4 teams he wants to get traded to so they can go back to doing what he was mad about in the first place. But we'll see. Bill, crack that top 5 for us. What do you got at number 5?
So 5, I got Julio Jones. Just out of respect. Namely.
I also have Julio Jones at number 5.
Yeah, you got to slide him in there at the top 5. Arguably the third greatest receiver of all time. He's just too good. And it'll be exciting to see him and A.J. Brown across from each other this year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not the biggest Ryan Tannehill fan, to be honest. But
is.
Yeah. So we'll see. But, I mean, you can't. So, yeah, Julio Jones, top 5, just all-time great receiver.
Yeah, he doesn't even really need an explanation. And I actually lied. I had last year I had Mike Thomas at number 2, and I had Julio at number 1. So they both just slid 5 spots. The only thing with Julio is just age and I don't remember the last time he's played a full season. Like he's always got something bothering him. But if he can stay, you know, if you can get 12, 13 games out of him next to AJ Brown with Derrick Henry. Like, Titans offense might be pretty scary. So, yeah, he needs no explanation. He's still an animal. I mean, he's up there with, I mean, Calvin Johnson is my all-time favorite wide receiver. And Julio's in conversation with him and some of the other greats, like, you know, Randy and all them. So, but yeah, five's a good spot for him.
So I was waiting for this moment. I was waiting for this moment to come. And I'll be honest, I didn't put him in my honorable mention because I didn't want to spoil it. I don't have Julio Jones in my top 10 list.
Oh, my.
Goodness. This is like Stephon Gilmore with Alex all over again. Are you insane?
Let me. What? No. See, I have reasonings for when I make controversial picks, unlike you, who just pick things. So let me break it down to you real fast. One, Christ. I go off my three metrics that Dakota knows well because I repeat to him every year. He didn't have a top 10 season last year. I don't think he's going to have a top 10 season next year. He's a number two wide receiver on that team. You're foolish if you don't think AJ Brown's the number one. He's in a run-heavy
offense. Julio Jones is a number two wide receiver? What kind of drugs are you doing down there at the beach?
Listen, when he's on the Titans, and actually great segue because my number five is the guy that's going to be ahead of Julio Jones, and it's AJ Brown. But getting back to this now, if I was starting my team, do I want an off injured 32-year-old Julio Jones?
Yes.
It was the same thing we saw happen when the Falcons announced they were trading him. You know, they weren't getting what they wanted. No one was giving a first round pick because everyone thought the same thing. He's older and he's got the injury history. He's not the Julio Jones that we've seen before, and that's why he's not in my top 10. I don't think he's going to have a top 10 season this year. He didn't last year, and if I was starting my team, why would I want 32-year-old off-injured Julio Jones, who's awesome, don't get me wrong, but I'm not, you know, that's not your, you're not building around him. He's going to be in an offense and be the third option on that offense behind Derrick Henry, you know, who they're going to run the ball with majority of the time, and AJ Brown.
That's where there's fault in how you rank players, because if I was starting a team, I probably wouldn't want Tom Brady as my quarterback, but he's the greatest quarterback of all time just because of how old he is.
What are you talking about?
That's not a great metric to go off of.
But that was a horrible example. I'm not going to get the starting quarterback of a team that just won the Super Bowl.
That was a good point.
If I'm starting my team, that assuming that you don't get, you know, you get certain picks here and there, or you're only allowed to take, like, if you're an expansion team, you only take so many players, you're going to take a quarterback that has maybe 2-3 years left over an aspiring young rookie, or a, you know, like a Justin Fields or a Jalen Hurts or Deshaun Watson. Like, you're going to take a 44-year-old Tom Brady?
Are you actually telling me that if I was starting my team right now, you would take Justin Fields over Tom Brady? Are you insane? If I was starting my team and I had 2 years of Tom Brady, I'll probably win the Super Bowl, and then I'll figure out what happens afterwards. But guess what? I'll win a Super Bowl, and then I can figure it out. He just won a Super Bowl, but that's for another time, another day.
Again with the Super Bowls.
Let me get back to my point about my number five guy, because now that, you know, you're flustered and all over the Julio Jones thing, which I stand by. You put him in your top five, because of his name.
Wait. Because of name. Hold on. Billy and I both have him at five. You don't even have him in your honorable mentions, which means you don't have him in the top 13.
Okay, relax. He would have been my honorable mentions, but I didn't want to spoil the surprise. Oh, I wanted to wait until you guys mentioned him. He would have been in my honorable mentions. He would have been number 11. But listen, what was it, last year a top 10 season for him? No. Is this year going to be?
You don't think with a solid Ryan Tannehill, with a good offensive line, with AJ Brown on the other side, who apparently is your number five, with Derrick Henry, the best running back in the league, you don't think he's going to get opportunities?
Listen, that's a run-first offense. It's Derrick Henry first. He went from a pass-happy offense where he was the guy with Matt Ryan in Atlanta.
And so it's a run-first offense, and how is Brown so high on your list then? You're not making any sense.
Let me get
go
back
ahead. Tell us why Brown's at number five.
Here's the thing. Julio's on the way out and on the way down. AJ Brown's on the way up. He's got over 1,000 yards every single year of his career in a run-first offense. You know where he gets those yards? He's probably the best yards after catch wide receiver in the NFL right now. The guy is a unit to tackle. I put him above DK Metcalf because they're both athletic freaks, but DK Metcalf isn't really polished in the route running, his hands. AJ Brown is elite at that. He's got great hands, great routing ability, and when he gets the ball, he's a weapon. He's a nightmare. And he's the number one option on the Titans. Even with Julio there, he's young. What team wouldn't want to build around him? I think he's going to be very good next year because he has Julio Jones across from him. I think that'll help him because it'll just take more attention away from him. I think the Julio move to Tennessee will be more beneficial to AJ Brown than it is for Julio.
Well, yeah, but
why would I not want him in my top five then? The guy's a stud. His future is really bright.
So I get it. I get that he's 32, probably only has a couple more good years in him, but
goes back to your Tom Brady thing. Would I want to start my team with Julio Jones, who's older and injury prone, if I'm only going to have him for 2 years? Blah, 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 blah. No.
Okay, but this, yes, you said yes to Tom Brady.
But Tom Brady's
a different thing. He just won a Super Bowl, and he's the best quarterback ever.
Oh, but you could win a Super Bowl with Julio Jones as your number one wide receiver.
No one's done it yet.
You wanna know a nice fact that you're just shitting on Julio Jones for no reason? So he turned over 35% of his targets into 15-plus yard gains, which was by far the most of any player last year. That means he's catching the ball and then making plays afterwards. He's breaking tackles. He's extending the play, getting more yards, which, oh, wow, he's too old to do that. Oh, no. Like, that's your argument is that he's old and he's got injuries. Like,
My argument is he didn't have a top 10 year last year. I don't think he's going to have one this year. And if I was starting my team, he's not in the top 10 of wide receivers I would want.
You know, wait. Mike Evans did not have a top 10 year last year either. Why is he in your top 10?
What?
He was 18th in receiving yards.
And he was 4 in receiving touchdowns. And he won a Super Bowl.
Oh, my God, the Super Bowl. I fucking hate you.
Where was Adam Thielen in the top 10?
Oh my God! Adam Thielen had more touchdowns and yards than Mike Evans, but who cares?
He won a Super Bowl.
He didn't win a Super Bowl. He's shit.
It's the Jason Hayward effect. If you win a championship, that's considered a good year. It doesn't matter what you did. Jason Hayward won the worst year of his career and won a World Series. It's a successful thing that people look back on.
Anyways, I think our top four, from what it sounds like, is all the same players, just in different orders. So
I would agree. I think our number one's gonna probably be unanimous, but I am curious to see where we have the four, because I could have made a strong argument for any of them to be in any of the position in the top four.
I honestly I don't think between one to four, like, I wouldn't be upset if my four was one of yours number one. Like, I think that's just how, like, this year went and how the upcoming year is going to be. I think any of these guys could be the best receiver in the league. So
I would agree. But Bill, what do you got?
You got a four, Bill?
I thought the top four, you know, I thought it was actually easier than the bottom. Oh, yeah.
I was done the top four in like 3 minutes.
Yeah, the top four was super easy. But I got Diggs at four. All
right.
Number one in yards, number one in catches last year. I mean, he obviously turned the Bills into a stronger contender. You know, that offense last year was much better with him, and probably the progression of Josh Allen helps as well. But he's probably going to put up another top 5 year. Maybe not quite as good as last year, but he's still going to be, you know, a top receiver in the league. And I like the Bills a lot this year too. So he's pretty good.
Yeah, I had Stephon Diggs at number four as well. So.
Oh, look at that, actually, because I'll let you go to Coda, but I also had him at number four.
Oh, look at that.
All right.
We all agree. I like it, man.
Wow, no arguing this time. That's crazy. But, I mean, he had 1,500 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns. You know, he 127 catches, like, phenomenal year. And it's funny, I really didn't like him when he was a Viking. But ever since he came to the Bills, like, I feel like his attitude's changed. He's much more of a team player instead of a me player. And he just, like, he was what? I think he was all pro this year too, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
He did leave the league in receiving yards and receptions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I'm looking at the receiving yards, and Travis Kelce's in second. So it's a little messed up. But the only reason I didn't have him, like, I don't know if I'd put him at one, but the only reason I didn't have him at two or three is just because I don't think he's going to reach that level of yards. Due to Emmanuel Sanders also be like, I know Emmanuel Sanders is past his prime now, but he's still, you know, going to command targets. So I think that might bring some back. And plus, I think a lot of teams are going to try and start double teaming Diggs now and try and slow his game down after what he did to everyone last year. So
wait, but, what does Emmanuel Sanders have to do with this? He's not on the Bills.
He is.
Yeah, he is.
Is he?
Yeah.
Shows how much you know.
I really, I'm surprised. I thought he was on the Saints. When did that happen?
This offseason. He signed with the Bills. I mean, you got him, and then you got a couple other young good receivers and anti-vax Cole Beasley.
I think so. Yeah, John Brown's still there. I think Cole Beasley's still there.
I think John Brown left, if I'm not mistaken.
I do too, actually. But I think he's Dakota, going back to your point, though, with Diggs on Minnesota, I wasn't the biggest fan of him either. Mm-hmm. But I thought he could be good on the Bills. But I remember, do you remember the game against the Eagles like 2 or 3 years ago when he had like 250 yards and 3 touchdowns?
How could I forget? Or,
yeah. And that's when I was like, oh, this guy is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's all I really wanted to chime in there. He smoked us. Yeah. I forget who was even covering him, but he smoked us.
Part of me no still just was so tired of seeing the miracle at the whatever they called it, like the one where he had that catch, and then like I was like, yeah, it was a cool play. It was, you know, great that they won the game, but like they went on and got dismantled by the Eagles in the championship game.
Yeah.
And like that game means nothing now. So I don't know why people go back to that play all the time, but
honestly, yeah. I'm a big fan of him for that because I didn't want to play the Saints that year. So when they won, I was really happy because
My dad have a Super Bowl if the Saints were in the championship. But
yeah, but like I said, I have Diggs at 4. I won't repeat what you guys just said. I agree pretty much with everything you said. John Brown is on the Raiders, by the way. I did a little quick little look after. I didn't even realize that Manny Sanders was on the Bills. So, but he's still got weapons there. And like I said with Keenan Allen. I think him and Josh Allen will continue to grow together. Like, I think they're both going to improve together. I think he is going to continue to be really good. I think he's had a very good season coming up.
I love their chemistry. Like, him and Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs look like they were, like best buddies in, like, I don't even know, like, Boy Scouts or something, or, like, grew up together in like, kindergarten. Like...
Yeah, I mean, like, Keenan Allen is going to be Justin Herbert's best friend. Steph Diggs is Josh Allen's best friend. Yeah, so I have nothing more to add. He's a stud. He was one of my favorite acquisitions from last offseason. I really thought he was going to have a good year. And I was high on him, and he surpassed my expectations.
So,
let's get into the top 3.
I was just going to say, I can't think of another receiver in recent memory, at least, that came in, I mean, maybe Hopkins, but who came in like right away and like just made a huge difference in the team.
Well, it's impressive.
That's what I could think of.
Yeah.
You know, the little amount of time that they have in the off season.
Oh, yeah. Plus like, with COVID and everything, too. Like, and they just gelled immediately.
So. Oh, yeah. Of all seasons, too, last year to come out and like lead the league in receptions and yards. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Well, for 3, I got Tyreek Hill, second in touchdowns last year, big playmaker, obviously. He's obviously really like his thing is just being fast as shit, fast. So like, you know, he's got a ton of speed. I don't know how well he can like go up and get the ball. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like, you know, favor that. You know, I like that in receivers, the ones who can kind of like just go up in the red zone and, you know, get the ball at its peak. So that's why I have my 3, but.
You should have watched the Mike Evans tape. You probably really enjoy it. He does that a lot.
I mean, I had him at 10. That's why I had Julio, you know, another reason you have Julio Jones in there, but yeah, Tyreek Hill's obviously great, but.
Julio Jones, who's that? Not
in Tim's top.
Hey, listen, I'm not disrespectful. I was just being honest. I was giving you truth. He's on your top 10 both years because of the name, and that's it. And don't act like it's not. I just don't fall for the trap of the name.
One of the greatest wide receivers of ever. And you're just saying, oh, he's okay. Anyways, I also had Tyreek Hill at number 3.
Are we going to have a clean sweep? Because I also have him at number 3.
Oh, no. I mean, we probably do have the same 1-4. That's kind of wild. Oh. All right. I mean, everything Billy was saying, and then this stat really stuck out to me, and I almost flipped him for number 2, but over his past 4 seasons, Tyreek Hill has notched 56 receptions, 2,240 yards and 25 touchdowns on targets of 20 plus yards downfield. So that deep, like he deep threat is like an understatement to him almost. Like he literally just changes the game. He changes offenses because of his ability to just stretch the field and get open and use his speed. And he's, for as small as he is, like he's like huge. He's like compressed.
Yeah, he's
like
very strong,
short but wide. Like he's big boy. And for being as like strong as he is, he's still super, super fast. One of the best deep threats I've seen since I've watched football. So, and he's only in his, he'll be going to what, his fifth or sixth year. Like he's still young too. It feels like he's been in the league forever.
Yeah. But
yeah, he's a phenomenal player.
What round draft pick was he coming out?
I want to say, I would say middle late, somewhere.
Like
I want
like fourth or fifth. I want to say.
I mean, it feels like he's been in the league for quite some time, just because like we always hear of him because obviously playing with Patrick Mahomes and putting up the ridiculous stats that he does. It feels like we've been listening to or hearing his name for a while. But yeah, he is all around great. I think playing with Patrick Mahomes obviously helps and Andy Reid in that system, but he's a perfect fit.
He was drafted in the 2016 NFL draft out of West Alabama. He was a fifth round pick.
Wow.
I thought he was a fifth round pick. Yeah, so like I said, I do have him at number three as well as you guys. I just wanted to pop this up real fast for you because this one's for you, Bill. What do you mean? What did you disabled screen sharing? Come on now. What are we doing? I screen share incredible things all the time.
You haven't shared anything in a while. And the one time YouTube took down our video because we used a video that we weren't allowed to.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Real funny.
this is for Bill because this is like, I mean, Tyreek Hill's awesome. He is everything what you guys just said, but this is probably my like favorite play by him because it's what they'll say, like he's so fast or anything, but the dude just goes up and gets it. Like he literally went up and just jumped over the dude and then plowed his way. Like that's not what small Tyreek Hill is known for. But yeah, that was like, I always look, whenever I think of him, I always think of that play. Like he literally just went up, jumped over a dude, got the ball, and then plowed in four guys and got in. But I echo a lot of the same things you guys said. And he's with Mahomes. He's going to be very good. As long as they're there, he's going to be very good.
That video lagged so much that it looked like he just teleported to the end zone, which is about as fast as he runs. So.
Fair enough. You get the idea.
Tim, I'm surprised you didn't have him hired. You know he's a former Super Bowl champion? Did you know that?
He didn't win one last year, though, so, you know.
Oh, I guess that doesn't matter. It was last year.
To be fair, going off that, I had him at six last year when he won the Super Bowl. I had him half behind my Kevin, so looking back on it, was pretty foolish to have him at six.
No, I think last year we both had him pretty underrated. I think he's weird because I think for as good as he is, people really only ever see him as like a deep ball guy, but he's running the slant. He's on reverses. He's basically Alvin Kamara, but at receiver, if you think about it.
Yeah, like, he's the most explosive player in the league. I had him at number two for a while, but I
considered him at two as well.
Yeah, I had him there right before we did this, I switched it. So,
yeah.
I think we all have unanimous number four.
Well,
so let's see, Bill, what do you have?
We'll see. Who's Bill got at number two, and then we'll go from there.
All right, yeah, we'll see. I think I'm switching it up here. I got Adams at two.
Okay.
You did switch it up a little bit. Hey, yeah. No argument. Like I said, these four guys, they could have put in any order.
Yeah,
I really think they're all incredible.
I said earlier, I like the guys who can, again, like go up and get it. And Adams, obviously, is really good. Mm-hmm. Giving a little bit more credit with playing for Aaron Rodgers, you know, kind of, you know, playing with Aaron Rodgers helps a lot, I think. So, So Adams is great. Obviously, led the league in touchdowns last year, second in receptions. I think playing with Aaron Rodgers helps a lot. But then again, there's no other receivers on that team, or not, you know. So he should be getting like double teamed all the time, and he still does those numbers. Yeah. So, I mean, he's incredible. But I like the other guy at one a little more. But yeah, who do you guys have? Do you have Adams or Hopkins?
So my number two is DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
Tim, how do you feel about that?
I can't believe this. I can't believe that I actually agree with you of all people, but yeah, I went Hopkins number two.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, what it really came down to, because I mean, like I said, the four top guys, you can put whatever order you want. I really wouldn't give you too much of an argument. I look at them as both the same kind of level of player. It's just, I think Devontae Adams had a better year last year. And that's kind of really what, and I, especially with all this like drama with Aaron Rodgers and everything, and the fact that I think this is the last year for both of them. I think they're going to have a big year this year. So, I mean, you know, I'm not going to kill you for having him at two instead of one, but I thought last year just, it was incredible what he was doing. And he's like a point guard, the way he breaks ankles. His route running is amazing. Like, he is just so quick in his movements, and his step is violent. He breaks ankles. And 18 touchdowns? Man, that was more than six teams. Six had the entire team. He had more pass, and more receiving touchdowns than six whole teams did. That's insane. He's more than a touchdown a game. Like, that's nuts. I know he plays the Rodgers, and this is where I kind of wanted. This is where Hopkins had the argument for me, was what he did going in, and we said it similar to Diggs. He didn't miss a beat. New system, new team, new quarterback, new everything. Didn't miss a beat. And he just went out there and was as dominant as he always is. I ultimately went with Adams a little higher just because I thought his season was better, and that's really what it came down to. And then that's nothing against DeAndre Hopkins, because he had an incredible season too. I think he had like 1,400 yards, I believe, off the top of my head, I don't remember. 1,400 yards and, you know, six TDs. You know, he didn't have the 18 like Adams had, but, you know, Adams had pretty much 1,400 yards. He had 1,374 and 18 touchdowns along with that. He also had the most yak yards for any receiver, and I think that goes back to the fact that the guy's just, when he catches the ball, he's usually no one near him. Because he's just breaking ankles when he comes out of his release. He's so tough to cover. He's, I think, the best route runner in football right now.
Devontae Adams?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
He's just it's smooth. So like smooth. That's what I cannot believe I have to say this, but I agree with everything Tim just said.
I know. Something's wrong with what
that probably hurts, doesn't it?
It does. I feel like I just got stabbed. I had him and Hopkins, like, I knew right away they were one and two. And I just couldn't figure out, like, I couldn't decide, like, who I really wanted there. And I just was watching some highlights and stuff and then looking at stats. And, like Tim was saying, like, I just, Devontae Adams just has been, like, his routes are so smooth. He's just, and what really stood out to me was as phenomenal as D-Hop is, and as good as a season as he did have, I don't think it was his best season. Whereas I think this was Devontae Adams' best season. And like, you know, he almost had 100 yards per game. He had 90.1 yards per game, whereas D-Hop had, you know, 87.9, which is still very incredible. But he also had six touchdowns, which is, you know, Adams had three times as much. Somehow they both had 115 receptions, so that's pretty good comparison there. Pretty similar yardage as well. So,
like you just said, he basically averaged 100 yards per game. Like, he averaged more than a touchdown game. I pretty much at any point last season, you could just say Devontae Adams giving you 100 yards and a touchdown, which is absurd as an average.
Yeah,
those are numbers you can't even fathom. Like, he's just
Adams
definitely had a better year last year.
Yeah, I mean, just to see
I mean, like 100 yards and a touchdown, that would be the best game for most wide receivers in the season. That was what he was averaging.
Yeah,
and that's why, like, if you said, if we had had Hopkins number one, you know, it's not, or if Tim had a Hopkins number one, I had, you know, Adams at one, like I do, like, I wasn't going to really complain. It was just more of, like, looking at this, like, just straight up, like, the fact that they both had 115 receptions, but Adams had 18 touchdowns to Hopkins 6 and had 100 yards per game to Adams 80 or to Hopkins 87. So that sticks out to me quite a bit, but you know, Hopkins is like, they're elite. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And Adams definitely had a better year last year. But that's what, I like Hopkins just because I think, overall, he was playing with a new quarterback, so we'll see how he does this year. But the argument's obviously there for Adams as well.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
Hopkins with his game winning Hail Mary was a pretty crazy play too. He had the best play I think of all season last year.
Yeah.
But he's got the best hands in football. But honestly, did the Eagles have a single wide receiver at any point have 100 yards and a touchdown in a game at any point last season? Adams was averaging that.
Fulgham might have had two games.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Adams was consistently doing it every single week. It was just unheard of the consistency he was giving you.
Yeah. I mean, it's Now, if Rodgers was traded and Justin Love or whatever his name is, Love was his quarterback, maybe I would have bumped him to two, but I probably still would have had him at one. Like, he's just that good.
Yeah, I mean, and he's like Rodgers next year.
Yeah, and he's 28, so he's like in his prime. Like, he's you're gonna see this for a couple more years of just dominance. So, and he Tim, we didn't even mention. He played in 14 games.
Oh, I didn't actually know that. Wow.
Yeah. So he did all that in two less games than everybody else who, you know, we're talking about on this list. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an incredible season he put together. Like, it was one of the better, like, receiver seasons I've seen in a couple of years.
It was kind of quietly, like, for a while. Like, I feel like halfway through the season, nobody was really, like, saying too much. And then, like, well, right towards.
Everyone was. Sucking Aaron Rodgers.
It was too nonchalant. That's why.
Averaging 100 yards a game.
Let's be honest. It doesn't matter what anyone does in the Packers. Everyone's going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't really matter what Devontae Adams does. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers is dominating, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, this is going to be their last year together, right?
It looks like it.
It seems like.
Then he just restructured his contract. I don't know what the terms were, but.
Yeah, but I think it's so like he can get out after this year.
Yeah, he said in that press conference where he went on after Rodgers ripped the Packers apart, and he basically said, if it's not the highest paid wide receiver contract, then he's not signing it. And I don't know if the Packers are going to give him that. So he's going to get it. He'll get it from someone. And, you know, the Packers don't want to do it. I'm sure there'll be a litany of
The fact that the Packers paid Aaron Jones but weren't going to pay – but Aaron Jones is a beast. I had him in my running back post, but – fact that they paid Aaron Jones and they weren't going to pay Rodgers or Davante Adams, two of the best of their position.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing now.
And running backs too. Like that's like the position no one's willing to pay.
Plus they drafted a guy too. So it's like, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. I don't know what that.
Clearly not trying to win a championship.
That front office doesn't make any sense to me. I think you got to see more of it when Rodgers had his press conference and he ripped them apart and basically said every stupid thing they've done the last couple of years. And like, dude, like, how hard must it be to run this team? Like, you have one of the best quarterbacks ever.
Just
like,
in
football, like, that's a good starting block. Like, if you have that, you're on your way to a successful team. Like, if you're building a team and you have a very good quarterback, like one of the best ever, you will have 8 wins at least just with that quarterback. You know, it doesn't matter who else is on the roster. And just to ignore, I mean, you go into like, even with Adams, like we talked about, like Adams was the only guy on that offense. Like, there's no other pass catchers on that team that are worrisome. I guess they got Randall Cobb now, but
Alan Lazard, watch out.
Yeah. He's okay, but
Our other options are just a mixed round to late round wide receivers they drafted that say have potential who've never come close to them.
They're like Eagles receivers.
That's what I was gonna say, with the exception of Adams. They're just people off of Adams and Smith now, but
it's incredible. But that was our top 10. You know, Julio Jones and I think Mike Evans got were the biggest pot stirrers. I also think like the fact that you hate young players is so stupid. Don't lie to me and tell me Justin Jefferson and DK Metcalf aren't in the top.
I mean, he has Calvin Ridley. Yeah, so like
that's what I couldn't believe. Of the four young guys, he had the wrong guy.
Don't lie to me and say that Julio Jones isn't top 10 and then say Mike Evans is because he won a Super Bowl when he had one catch.
Okay, relax. Mike Evans' argument, I had a lot of other reasons besides the Super Bowl. I just go back to it's the Jason Hayward effect. If you win a Super Bowl, it improves your season regardless of how bad it might have been. The fact that you win a championship, you will be looked at as having a successful season, regardless of what your numbers or production was.
So why wasn't Leonard Fournette in your top 10 running backs?
Tough list. Competition.
Oh man, well, I was in Carlton Davis as your top 10 cornerback.
Well, listen, it isn't a cookie cutter thing. It doesn't just automatically put him in the top 10.
Now, if you said Bruce Arians was your number one coach, I wouldn't argue that because he won a Super Bowl. But that's different.
I don't know what to say about
Devontae Smith in the top 10 for winning a championship last year?
Yeah. Heisman. Well, you're not. Does that Heisman not mean anything?
So your counter arguments to this is talking about coaches and then using a guy's college stats and awards. That's just when you know your argument is futile. And
on the topic, what real quick before we end, what is our trajectory on Devontae Smith? How are we feeling about? I've heard good things in camp so far, but I always hear good things in camp about Eagles players, so that's not necessarily the best thing to go off of. But
yeah, I know what I'm gonna say. You stink in camp. I Billy sent me a picture the other day of his legs, and I was like, damn, I worry about him getting hurt. But I think he's gonna be good. I mean, like I said, kind of with Adams, like, I think he has that ability to run incredible routes and just be open. Like, that is such a big thing. Like, if you can do that as a wide receiver, that's like the most sought after skill for wide receivers, getting open. I mean, maybe besides like catching the ball, but you know, if you're open, it's easier to catch the ball, you know. And I think just his ability to get open and how good his routes are, I think he's gonna be pretty good once he starts. Like, once he hits the ground running, like, he has that skill set that kind of makes it like I feel really good and feel like he's got a very high floor. Like, I you know, just his ability to get open is something that I think is going to translate and be successful right away.
I totally agree.
From what it sounds like, it's going to be Vontae Smith at the one, Fulgham on the other side, and then assumably Rager in the slot, but apparently he wasn't ready for camp because he was dealing with some personal issues and he was out of shape. So apparently Arthega Whiteside was playing the slot. So maybe they can resurrect his career. Who knows? I mean,
no, I don't even want to try to resurrect his career. Honestly, if they could cut him, I would be more in favor of that.
Yeah, Goddard apparently was out of shape too. And then Zach Ertz is blonde now. So there's that. And still on the team.
Listen, I mean, I expect Ertz to be on the team at this point. I don't know if he's going anywhere.
Yeah, they're just going to roll with it. Let him walk.
I thought this was Rager. Like, Rager was never a number one wide receiver, but I didn't think he was a bust. I think Rager on the spot is going to be a great spot for him. And I think having Devontae Smith and, I guess, Fulgham on the outsides, and then those two tight ends, if they're healthy, like, there's going to be weapons there. And Sanders coming out of that field, I think there's going to be enough weapons and options that everyone is going to take a step up. I think we're going to see more from Rager. I think Fulgham's going to hopefully improve a little bit more. I think this will revitalize Ertz. I think Goddard will continue to ascend. Just having more guys around you, where it was just a barren graveyard of just crappy players that, you know, aren't going to make anyone else better because they all stink.
Yeah, I mean, we're biased, but I do think the Eagles are a sleeper team. I think if they can hit their potential, they could definitely be a, you know, good team. So
I did submit a you know, on DraftKings, you know, I from oh, the boy. Wager the division. I think they, like, I honestly think they have the most well-rounded roster in the division. I don't think the Giants have an offensive line or a quarterback. Redskins with Fitzpatrick, they'll be solid. And the Cowboys, you know, I don't know how much about their defense, but they obviously have Prescott. But I like the Eagles. I think the Eagles, the wide receivers, Devontae Smith, you know, he can get open. That's what they need because they haven't had any good elite receiver in years.
Yeah.
Who is it? T.O.?
Yeah.
If you want to consider DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, I guess. Say DeSean Jackson was, I mean, he couldn't stay healthy on his second stint, but first time around, he was pretty damn good. So,
yeah. Second stint, he just stole money from the Eagles. That's all that was.
He was good every time. Well, it's a shame because, like, every time he played, like, he got
like a 50 yard touchdown.
He would get like a game, and then he would just be like, all right, I got to sit out six games, but I'll be back.
Yeah.
So,
But all right, I mean, that was a good lively debate. I'm excited and glad we got some Eagles optimism in there as well.
Yeah, I think this was it's a good crop of receivers coming in this year. A lot of good young players. I think you're gonna kind of see a passing of the torch coming with you know, players like Julio and Hopkins and stuff, where these younger guys are gonna cement themselves as these, you know, we're the new we're the new elite receivers of the league, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, you're an idiot for not having Julio in this list, but that's a argument for a different day.
You're behind.
I couldn't hear a word you said. You like froze, so it probably was a bad argument anyways.
Fair enough. Alrighty, well, it was a delight.
All right. Yeah, appreciate it, fellas. Thanks for having me on. It was a good time.
Happy to have you. Do well.
Yeah. Yep. Take care.
As ridiculous as usual.
Julio Jones will have a better year than AJ Brown, but we'll.
Ooh.
That won't happen.
I don't know about
that. All right. We'll see about that.
All right.
See
you, fellas.
Peace out.